All right, Pastor, I just want to thank you so much for inviting us here today. This is really cool for our guys to experience this. It's empowering for them. And, you know, we have a lot to glorify God for. He's been doing a lot of great things with our men, and it's all to his glory. Amen. You're going to hear some of those things. And I'm going to have one man right now, Matt Miles, come up here. I'm going to give you go to my right side there. You're my right hand man. It's going to be action-packed, a lot of stuff happening in the next 20, 25 minutes here. So we'll try to get through this so we're timely here. But Matt, you came to see me how long ago?
It was July of last year, I believe.
Yeah. And so why did you come see me at Transformation Network?
Well, I came to Transformation Network. I was just broken. I was really deep in my addiction, and I was so desperate for help. I was praying for help, and I walked out of jail, told them I was homeless, and they sent me to you.
Yeah. And so he came to me, and, you know, we've tried to help men like Matt, but we're not a 24/7 facility, and we have failed miserably because, you know, on the weekends and the evenings, they would get tempted, right? And so I had heard about another organization called Operation 612. St. Vincent de Paul, which is another resource here in town, helped us hook him up some housing that weekend. We spent some time together that weekend, right, Matt? And one of the things that we had Matt do was to go to the church that our guys attend at Fusion there in Mansfield. Can you share what happened that Sunday?
Oh, I would love to share what happened that Sunday. So I get to church Sunday. I'm a little nervous going in there. You know, I get there. Literally, as the sermon started, I felt like the only man in the room. I literally felt like the pastor was talking directly to me and that no one else even existed at that moment. After service, I went up and talked to the pastor. I asked God to be my Lord and Savior, and that's how that Sunday went.
Yeah. So, I mean, happened very quickly for Matt, right, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It always doesn't happen that quickly, right? But now, how long have you been involved at Operation 612 since?
So I've been at 612 for approximately 10 months now. It's been great.
Yeah, and where do you get Operation 612 from? What is that from?
It's based out of Ephesians 6:12, you know, right. Putting on the armor of God.
Right, right.
It's not a battle of flesh and blood, but
right. And so you've been clean from addiction ever since then.
Yep.
Yeah. So can you share a couple new things that's happened to your life since?
Only a couple.
Only a couple, Matt.
All right. we'll make it quick. One of the greatest things was, so when I was in jail, I was on the verge of not being able to see my children. I have two little ones at home. They are 5 and 6 now, and I was on the verge of never being able to see them, be a part of their life. God has brought them back into my life, and I get them every weekend and every day they're not in school.
Amen. Amen. Was that part of your motivation too? Thank you. That's awesome. That was part of your motivation to get help, right?
In the first place. Absolutely.
So we're just excited about that. And so Matt, you've been there about, you said like 10 months, something like that.
Yeah. Approximately 10 months.
Getting ready to graduate.
Actually, I graduated of February. Okay. I just kind of been waiting for God to tell me my next move.
Yeah. What do you think that might be?
I really feel a strong calling towards like ministry, whatever that may look like. I'm not sure if it's like pastoring or like youth ministering, but whatever that may be, like I really feel it strong, and I feel like there's a lot of people that could really hear what I have to say.
Yeah, amen. He's a living testimony of what Jesus can do, right? He can radically change our lives. And so one of the things that Matt is praying about, Operation 612 would really like him to continue serving there. And guess what Transformation Network would like him to do? because we feel like he's ready for those next steps that we can provide, and you'll hear more about that in a minute. But so he's praying about that. What's next steps for Matt? So would you remember Matt in your prayers as he prays about what he needs to do next in his life? So we're so excited. Church, if you're happy, just say amen.
Amen.
You know, thank you, Matt, for that. And so I just want to share a little bit. Just put this down here. Just want to share a little bit about what we do at Transformation Network. New Steps is what we call it. And so what we do is we take people out of homelessness, jail, and prison. And they come with us broken, hurting, wanting change. Maybe they lack some support in a family at times. And so we help them. We put an action plan together. Almost everyone, I think everyone, meets with a licensed counselor because a lot of them have trauma in their past, right? And so we put this action plan together. We have Bible studies every morning for about an hour, prayer time. We have rec room time where we just hang out with them. And we did that actually last night with a few of the guys, just hung out and get to know them. They go to church on Sundays, but they're getting their driver's permit, their driver's license. And they actually work with us there about 40 hours a week. And working Atlas Bolt and Screws supplies work for us. And we're looking really not to expand. So pray for us because we have about 8 guys total. But we can double that with the current housing that we have if we shuffle some things around. And we bought a building where we think we're going to get more work. We also have maybe some rental opportunities coming up here in Mansfield, which would provide a lot more work. And what does that mean? More income, right? The more people we can impact, okay? And the more skills they can learn and prepare them for that independent living. So just be praying about that for us. God's really like, you know, we're just trying to catch up with God. It seems like we're trying to join him in what he's doing. And we're so excited about this thing. So at this time, we're going to have some men come, some of the men that you're going to hear their testimony in snippets. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. So if they want to come up forward here, and they're going to make a presentation of what God's been doing in their life.
Thank you, Wayne. So like Wayne said, and Pastor said as well, my name is Dominic. And I came to Transformation Network almost 11 years ago. It's really crazy how time flies. I was allowed to enter into the program for offenders, for ex-offenders, and called Liberty Door Program at the time. That was before it got its new name, which is New Steps. So in that time, I worked for them as a temp, and then they brought me in for an internal staff in May. So my anniversary is coming up here pretty soon, 10 years internal staff, which is pretty cool. I have been able to see God in my life this entire time, you know, through the healing process of just having the staff of Transformation Network and God, and just realizing what forgiveness actually looked like and what it meant to be forgiven. So through that, through the 10 years, I've been stretched. They found out that I'm okay talking in front of people. Obviously not today, but so they allowed me to teach their class that they had, the New Steps class, or the life skills class that they had, and so that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, and that turned into recruiting. Again, being stretched every single time by God. And I'm no longer a recruiter. I'm on the other side now, which is doing more ministry, which is amazing. So I work under Wayne, who's our director of ministry. And I've been given the great opportunity to work with the individuals in New Steps, which is a gift every single day. To see God in their lives, to see the transformation in their lives as that same transformation happened for me. And so with that, you know, it's just, it's all the glory to God. I mean, that's the biggest part of it, is where doors were open. Doors were always open. I was actually laid off almost 3 times with Transformation Network. Like, I lost my hours. Wayne had to come to me and go, "We're sorry, we're gonna have to cut your hours." And then a couple of weeks later, I was put back on for 40 hours. So, you know, all those things is the Lord right there, right? And it's been great just to see that in my life, and then be able to share it with everybody here, as well as the individuals and new steps that God brings us. And that's the biggest thing, is that these individuals are sent here because we're able to help them take those new steps in life. And you'll be able to see that. Just with that, Psalm 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from the hand of the enemy."
I was in the hand of the enemy.
So was I.
I was.
In a very dark place.
I was.
Angry.
I was.
Oppressed by demons.
I was.
Scared.
I was.
Addicted.
I was.
Homeless.
I was.
Imprisoned.
I was.
Afraid to speak.
I was lost.
Oh, sorry, guys, I'm lost.
I was lost.
I was lost.
Were you lost?
Were you?
We all were lost, but now
I am found.
Let the redeemed of the Lord, come on, guys,
say so.
All right, let him say so. Now I am
free from my chains.
I am
a new man in Christ.
I am
courageous.
I am at peace.
I am
redeemed. I'm going to shout that from the mountaintop. Are you?
I am.
I am.
Are you? All right, gentlemen, you may take your seats.
So, you know, just to get to know these guys a little bit better and explain some things about what we do, Jody, can you share something that God's done in your life since you've been in with New Steps?
Sure. Overcome the fear of speaking in front of people is one of them.
And that's huge, because seriously, right? I mean, Jody, you don't know how far he's come this way. This is so awesome to see what God's doing with him. But go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's fine. Also, overcoming the fear of actually getting on the road and driving amongst the masses. And getting my driver's license, which I've gotten last year for the very first time.
Yeah, amen.
Which has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Jody, so much.
Thank you.
Mike, you want to share some of the things we actually do there?
I work with the fulfillment services part of it, and it helps support the ministry up there. And what I do, Atlas, do racks and trays, put the bolts in to be sent back to be painted, and we do relabel and some sort, which I don't care for too much. But and God's really been working with me too, because I would have never done this before in my whole life either, you know. Something I don't like to do is speak in front of people. But when God's hand's in it, you got to do it, though, right? You got it. I mean, and when his hand's in it, you're being stretched. So
yeah, that's right.
Amen. You got to do it.
Thank you so much, Mike, for that testimony. And Mike has, I remember when Mike came there, this PO actually didn't want him to work there, right, Mike? And 2 years later, Mike's still there, And now he's moving into a new position, peer support specialist, right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm saying that right. So, you know, we never know what's going to happen, right? But God is using Mike in a mighty way. Danny, can you tell us something about the life skill classes and what we do there?
Some of the things that men don't like doing is, you know, learn how to do the dishes and laundry and stuff like that. But I also taught a basic maintenance course on cars, which some of the guys really enjoyed it and everything.
Yeah, so we appreciate Danny. So we're learning some soft skills and hard skills, and there they are underneath the van there, changing oil and, you know, checking tires and changing air filters and stuff like that. So we do some of those practical things as well, right? And then Chris, you want to share some of the other things we do at Transformation?
Yeah, my name is Chris. I've been with Transformation for 3 years now coming, and I started out as with splinters and planks, and then I'm helping these guys with the fulfillment services, and then I help Danny with maintenance or whatever needs built or help with, and then we do a little bit of community service work.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, we'll do odd jobs for people. So you've seen us raking leaves up there, right? And fixing people's porch or what have you. So any questions that you guys have about New Steps at this point in time, you're free to ask. Any questions? We'll do our best to answer them. Anybody? All right, got a question back there. Okay, we have a gentleman by the name of Brent Coffey. He would be the guy to contact. So he's one of those mentors for these men. And he would follow up and say, it could be anything, you know. Some folks just, maybe they need their gutters cleaned out or whatever. Or it could be a bigger job than that. And he'll tell you whether we can or can't do it. We want to do that to serve our community. And just contact Brent. Good question. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. All right, guys, you can have a seat. Appreciate that. And so we wanted to share another testimony yet. Howard, you already got a mic. I have one too, so what am I holding that up in my mouth for? So, Howard, come on up here. So, yeah, come right over here. And we're taking new guys in. Right now we're full. We're at full capacity. But like I said, we'll be moving some things around and preparing other buildings so that we can take on more men. But, Howard, how long have you been with us?
I've been with Transformation Networks for exactly 3 months today.
3 months today. So, and one of the things we do is we have Bible studies every day, like I said, and then I try to meet with the guys once a week, just one-on-one, and we've been going through, what kind of studies have you and I been going through, Howard?
We go through Bible studies and go through verses in the Bible, and not just that, you talk about real life issues with me too that actually has impacted my life, so I thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome, and we go through, you know, the book of Romans, right, because that's a logical explanation for our sin problem, right? And what Jesus did to pay for our sins and how we can accept him, right? And so can you share with them what happened a couple Fridays ago?
I certainly can. Well, I guess it was a couple Thursdays ago.
Okay.
I thought it was Good Friday, but it was a good Thursday. So we'll do that. I was sitting down with Wayne and he'd asked me, what I felt about turning my life over to God. And I remember what I told him. I told him, like, yeah, in my mind, I thought I had to be better, you know? I thought I had to be a certain way before God would accept me and as that person. Because the way I've been doing it, it just hasn't been working. You know, I get the same outcome every time. You know, heartbreak, rejection, and I'm pretty sure some people know the story. Mm-hmm. But and then he said something to me that kind of made it all make sense. And he said that it's never going to happen doing it my way because I can't do it by myself. And I never thought about that. And when he said that, it kind of woke something up in me, and it felt like it was the right time. So I took Jesus as my personal savior, and it's been good ever since.
Yeah. So And by the way, it's Howard's birthday today too, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
So he's had a couple birthdays in the last couple weeks, right? He was born again a couple weeks ago, and he's celebrating his physical birthday today. So how do you know you're saved, Howard?
Because I've taken that step and accepting Jesus as my personal savior. And another thing, he told me I would.
That's right. You know? Is that not good enough? If Jesus says it, can't we just believe it? We have a hard problem with that sometimes, don't we? Just taking it for, it's so simple for people to get saved. And the hard part for Howard was realizing how simple it was, right? He thought he had to get better first before we can get saved. Well, that just runs counterintuitive to what Jesus is saying. Like, Jesus, I mean, that's what we think. But Jesus says, hey, you can't get better, right? We're all sinners, and only he can save us. So if you're happy for Howard today, just say amen, church.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And thank you, Howard. Have a
you're
seat,
welcome.
Brother. I appreciate you so much. It's been a blessed couple of weeks because not only did Howard get saved a couple of weeks ago, but a man that's been with us for, Curtis, how long have you been with us? 1 to 5 months. Now, he wasn't like Matt. You know, Matt heard it one time and he's getting saved. Curtis had a lot of questions, all right? And he was wanting to think it through and you know, get all these things figured out. And he actually, on his own, said a prayer out loud and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior a couple of Fridays ago. Last Friday. So, you know, we're so excited for him. So, Curtis, if you could just stand up and let him know who you are. And just so you know, when he got saved, I said, well, do you think you should tell people? He goes, well, you know, it's kind of personal. And I said, okay. And he goes, but, you know, and this is the way Curtis has to figure this out, you know, himself. And he goes, but, you know, I do go to church every Sunday. And so I guess in a way it's not really personal or private then. And I do. I am going to this function at the church on Saturday. He goes, you know, maybe. So I said, hey, you want to tell some people right now? So Kelly was is our executive director there, and she has really spoken to Curtis and our small Bible study groups there and answered a lot of his questions. So he goes, I know she's going to hug me. And we go out there, and sure enough, Kelly hugs her, but not only Kelly, Joy, who's sitting here, hugs him too. And so I knew something really changed when he hugged me. All right. I knew that Curtis got saved. Amen. So I hope that you're excited about what God is doing and the radical changes God is making in people's lives. And I know we're already at 11:31. It's okay. So I'm going to try to rush through the sermon and to give you the and just so you know, I'm not comfortable doing this either, okay? But who said that? Mike, right? You know, what's that?
All of them.
Oh, pretty much all of us, right? God calls us out of our comfort zone, doesn't he?
Yep.
He does. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You know, Pastor Keith here, you know, to me, he's very comfortable in front of people. I really appreciate listening to him at the ACMA and these jokes. He's really good at, you know, just the humor that he has. But so today I'm looking at the message and I'm thinking about, anybody see the Jesus Revolution, the movie? Okay, if you haven't seen that, it's a great movie. But the word revolution means a radical change. I think you've seen that testimonies today about these radical changes that are going on in these men's lives. This is what Jesus does, not just for them, but for us, right? And as I was thinking about this message, I thought about my own life. You know, some of us are very comfortable with our life, maybe a little too comfortable, right? I was serving a church for about 20 years. As a youth pastor and assistant pastor. And even then, this was not my forte, okay? Just so you know, I was a very shy young man growing up. But I was very comfortable, okay? Good church, loved the Lord, doing the right things, But I was living a very comfortable life. Okay? And then something terrible happened. Something mostly outside of my control happened. And I lost my wife. I lost my ministry. I lost my kids, at least contact with them. I lost my house. My misery was my job. You know, that's a man's identity, right? What am I going to do? I was angry. I was lost, Danny. I really was lost. Now, I was saved, but I was lost. So God did this paradigm shift on me. And I didn't even know what the word paradigm meant back then, okay? I learned it the hard way. You know, paradigm is that certain way of thinking and living that we're used to. And now I am being thrust out. And I'm not liking it. What am I going to do? That was about 15 years ago. And I had the choice to get bitter or better. I remember Bob Buford telling me, you can get bitter, Wayne, or you can get better. And so it finally got to a place in my brokenness, I said to the Lord, I want to get better. And because of that, Jesus has made all things new in my life. I have a new wife. Yeah, okay. That was a radical change, right? And I'm just going to be blunt, right? Never did I ever even think I would date a black woman, right? And God changed my heart about that because I was taught things that really weren't true. God was changing me. I became a better father. How do I know that? Because I remember my daughter saying to me, I feel like I know you now. Now, on the surface, I looked like I was a really good dad. I went to all the ball games I coached. You know, I was involved. But I wasn't spending quality time, one-on-one time with my kids. I became a better dad. There was a new way to love people. I remember when I went to talk to Dan Phil about working at Transformation Network, he goes, how would you like to work with people that have criminal backgrounds? I said, I don't. That was the interview. Because part of what caused my problem was because of some people with criminal behavior. Okay? And so God changed my heart. And I'm so glad he did. A radical change happened in me. And so when we think about God's plans and our plans, they collide at times, right? Now, God didn't make that bad thing happen, okay? But he did let it happen. And I think he let it happen for his good in my life and other people's lives as well. So let's go to Luke chapter 4 quickly, and I'll promise not to go nearly. I always try to say more than I should anyway, and this has definitely forced me not to do that, okay? So we get to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. So this is a normal thing. Jesus would come into the synagogue in Nazareth and read the scriptures, and then at times speak, okay? This is a regular thing, okay? And then this is what he says. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, he's saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the exact quote from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And it actually literally means me at this time when Jesus is saying it, right? He's talking to him about himself. And he says this in verse 20, and he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so he's claiming to be the Messiah, the deliverer, right? To open the eyes. By the way, we're all blind before we come to Jesus. It's not a physical blindness, although we know he healed people that were blind physically, but he's talking about the spiritual blindness of people. The same way when he talks about preaching the gospel to the poor, it's the poor in spirit that humble themselves to the place where they accept Jesus as their Savior. So this was he's the deliverer. He doesn't just a message of delivery, but he is the deliverer, and he's proclaiming that today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Then we go to verse 22. And at first, all the people were speaking well of him and wondered at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. They liked what they heard. They admired what he was saying. This was attractive. But like most of us, they're critical. I find myself doing that all the time. I could be in a church hearing a great sermon and I find something I don't like. And that's what I walk away with. So they're no different than we were. And listen to what they said. It says here, I can find my place again. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Now, let's just don't skip over that, because if you go to Matthew 13, this was their problem. They seen Jesus as somebody ordinary, because this was their hometown. He preached and taught. They heard him before. Joseph, and if you go to Matthew 13, they have this conversation. Don't we know his mother Mary and his brothers? And they named the brothers and the sisters. They live amongst us. And they were offended at him, it says in Matthew 13. They were offended at him. Even though he did these miracles, even though he's speaking, he's too familiar. He's too ordinary. And I was thinking about that. How many years in my life has Jesus been just way too ordinary, way too familiar? You know, when you hear these men talk about their salvation, do you sense the joy of salvation? Do you sense that? Do you hear it? Remember, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And I got to tell you, when Curtis got saved, I don't know if Curtis remembers this, I said, I feel like I just got saved. I mean, because I was so excited to see him saved and see the countenance change and the peace that flooded his soul. I felt like I got saved. Man, it's a joy. It's rewarding to be around these guys because it reminds me of my salvation. But sometimes Jesus gets just too ordinary. And we're just too comfortable at times about who he is. And so let's jump ahead here, and we can see just how comfortable they are. Verse 23, and Jesus says, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. He says, I know you want me to do the miracles. And then if you go to Matthew 13, they actually demand that he does the miracles. Now, we forget that Jesus is God and we ain't, right? We are not in a position to demand God or Jesus to do anything. Just because he did this for this person here doesn't mean he has to do it for me. He is God. That's when Jesus gets a little bit too, we're a little too casual with Jesus. We're treating him a little bit too ordinary, right? We're putting him down at our level. And then verse 24, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. And then he tells a story about this widow, right? A Sidon in the town of Zarephath, if I'm saying that right. And who is this lady? She is living in a pagan world, okay, where they're worshiping Baal, where King Ahab and Jezebel are reigning. And of all the widows that God could have chosen, he didn't choose one single widow in the nation of Israel to meet Elijah's needs. That's what it says here. He did not choose one. He chose her. You think they like that? They don't like it. And why did he choose her? Because think about the faith. We just read it. Pastor Keith read that for us. The faith that it took. She was going to eat her last meal with her son and die. But she believed what the prophet said. She had faith and took him at his word for it, and she had meals for many days, okay? And we see the story of Naaman, same thing. Here's a Syrian a commander. He gets healed from leprosy, all right? But there were many lepers in Israel at that time, and when the nation's falling apart, but it says, the scripture says, they didn't save any of those. God didn't heal any of those lepers. He healed the leper, this Naaman, this commander of the Syrian army. So this causes them to be enraged. And because of time, we won't read it. But as you read through here, they get so angry with God or with Jesus here at this point, they literally Now think about this. This isn't a church setting. It's in a synagogue. They chase him to the brow of a cliff to throw him over a cliff. That's how angry they are with Jesus. Okay? You know, why? Because one, he's challenging their faith. Your faith isn't as good as the Gentiles have. Now, they, the Jewish people, think for the most part, Gentiles are only good for one thing, and that's to go to hell. They are the chosen people. And now Jesus is telling them a story about God. By the way, we look at God as a God of judgment in the Old Testament, but here's two stories that say, hey, he's picking out specifically Gentile people to be saved and healed, right? And so this disrupts their way of thinking. They don't like this paradigm shift that Jesus has thrown at them, and their faith is challenged, and so they want to throw him off a cliff. You know, there's times in our life when we're going to have trials, like I had 15 years ago. I hope nobody here has what I had 15 years ago. But we have significant trials, don't we? The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, divorce, right? All kinds of shapes and sizes, right? And what does James say? Count it all joy. Because God is going to do something great through that experience. He's going to bring maturity, and your faith is going to be made complete in this process. But it does take faith, right? That requires radical change of heart and mind, not to get bitter, but to allow Jesus to make me better. Maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. He said this to Nicodemus, something radical. You must be born again. That's a revolutionary, so much so that Nicodemus didn't even get it, right? He thinks he has to enter into his mother's womb again. That doesn't make sense, right? I mean, this is the way God works. He wants to do something radical in our lives all the time. He wants us to get out of the comfortable. I think about 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So, church, asking you, challenging you here, what new things is God doing in your life? Because if he's not, you're too comfortable. You're treating Jesus as ordinary. He is wanting to do new things in our life till our very last breath. He's trying to conform us to the image of his son, and that's radical. Okay, because I know for me, I got a long way to go, be like Jesus, right? But what is he doing currently in your life? Don't miss who Jesus is. Sometimes I've been convicted. I just heard a sermon last night with Matt over here. He wanted us to listen to the sermon, and the guy challenged us about worldliness. You know, we think worldliness is, you know, not sinning, not doing all these bad things, but he made the point of retirement. We live in a world where we're supposed to prepare for retirement. 401k. What do they say on TV? $500,000 or $1 million you need to retire. Okay? What's that? Yeah, we're on trouble, right? And so we are trying to do these things to get to that place where we can be comfortable. But Jesus doesn't call us to be comfortable. He doesn't call us to retire either. We have a man that does our jail ministry, Ralph Eichelberger. He's 75 or 4 or something like that. He loves what he does, right? I see that man, I think, man, I want to, and I'm not too far behind him, but I want to be like that. I want to be able to finish well. And so it could be a besetting sin that we have that we're struggling with. Jesus can give you victory, but it takes faith, doesn't it? You have to believe that God can make that change in your life. I don't care how long we've been struggling with that sin. Do we not have the power of the Holy Spirit in us? And do we not have the ability to get victory over that sin? We do, right? Right, church? Amen? We do. And so this is the quandary. Do we have the faith to believe it or not? They want to throw him off the hill. But get to verse 30 and we'll close. But passing through their midst, he went his way. How sad. They missed him. Now, they're trying to kill him, and he just kind of disappears on them, right? So, just don't miss what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants to make some radical changes in my life, in your life, in these men's life. They just got started, right? God makes some radical changes in their life. Don't miss Jesus. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that this church has given us here and for these men that are glorifying you and the work that you've done in their lives. And so, Lord, I pray that we would walk away different today. We would not walk out comfortable saying, oh, that was a nice thing. But God, we would walk out asking you to make something new in our life, being willing to take that step of faith and trust you for more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Pastor.